Welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefties Refuge. Politically Enraged is a podcast purpose-built to discuss British and international disunity in political spaces, talk through ideas, introduce you to amazing people, and fight back against authoritarianism. My name is David Moo, I'm your host, and I hope you'll stick with us. Follow our Twitter at Political Rages, find us on Instagram and Ko-fi at Politically Enraged, and let's speak truth to power. Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged, a podcast that is specifically designed to make you sigh with relief if you're a left-winger, and pretty much just sigh if you're on the right. Today's episode of the podcast is geared around the cost of living crisis that is kicking way up into the atmosphere at the moment if you live in the UK. Obviously, it is something that is happening worldwide. There's a lot of terrible things that are happening to people when it comes to income and how that's being distributed, a lot because of coronavirus, but I think that in the UK at the moment, we're really keenly becoming aware that we have jumped with both feet into a cost of living crisis. And I am of the keen opinion, as I'm sure you will know if you've been listening to this podcast for a long period of time, that we just have the worst possible people in charge at the moment. This does go beyond Boris Johnson as well, who I, as I'm sure you're keenly aware, detest, but it seems like Rishi Sunak just keeps putting his feet in it as well. I listened to an interview with him this morning where he was talking about the cost of living crisis, and he basically just spent most of the time backing himself and talking about how, well, coronavirus has really underscored how difficult it's going to make things for people. Then we've got people like David Cameron weighing in and saying, it's going to be a tough year for people. Now, when I finished uni, we were in a recession, and I was working as a waiter in a cocktail bar, make the joke, and I was also working in an office which was geared in a weird way around recruitment and telling people how to access learning materials and higher education for certain jobs. I lost both of those jobs. I ended up having to move out and move back in with my parents. I got swine flu. So, you know, echoes of all of that at the moment, because there's a dangerous virus going around and it seems like everyone is in danger of having no money and their jobs are at threat because things just keep going wrong. Now, don't get me wrong, we were under a different government then and I was very critical of them at the time because it seemed like they were handling the cost of living crisis terribly. But I have since then been under the Tories for 12 years. And the Tories have not handled this well at all. At first, it was all about, well, we need austerity. We all need to tighten our belts to get over this huge deficit. And then, of course, has come Brexit, which we all know has shrunk the economy, and coronavirus, which we knew was going to damage the economy, you know, but I think it's kind of unavoidable. But the way that businesses and enterprises have attacked this is just appalling to me. And all I can really go off at the moment is my own personal experiences. I'm sure that there's a wealth of people out there that will feel the same way as me. But I like to share my personal experiences because I am a person, I am a British person, I'm not rich, I'm not, you know, raking in loads of money. In fact, I mean, I'm between jobs at the moment. I'm supposedly starting my new job as kind of an advisor for a company soon. But I'm waiting for the paperwork, and I'm currently living off my savings. But what I always try and get across is that I really am just like, I'm just like anybody else. I don't have extra revenue income apart from like any meager takings that I get from like Ko-fi, which I ask people to donate to. I have my money in my savings and I had my job and now I don't, you know. There's a lot of things that I'm working on. I'm hoping to get into freelance journalism if I can, maybe do a master's and hopefully get paid for writing down the line. But it's a dream, you know, and I think, just as an aside, it's always important to have those dreams and ideas in mind. Hope it pays off. Don't know if it will. Realistically, you know, maybe it won't. But I understand what it's like to be facing this cost of living crisis and be just terrified, because I am, you know. I moved into this flat and I could afford it. I didn't have much left over every month. Maybe some went into savings, maybe I just spent up most of my salary and maybe 50 quid went into savings. That's all over. If I'd kept my job, I would be putting nothing in savings, because everything's more expensive. And it's so weird the amount of British people that just vehemently oppose the video that I posted or every time I speak about this. And I get people commenting and saying, that's just life. That's just life. That's how life works. Things get more expensive. And I'm not stupid, I understand that's how life works, but like this is not normal. Rent going up. Why is rent going up? What is it that my landlord can say to justify my rent going up? Just as an aside, when I got up yesterday to go to London, when I got into my hallway, there was a passed out man in my hallway. I pay nearly £1,000 a month for my rent, and they want to put it up so that I can pay more money to live in a building where unconscious people frequent my hallways, like some kind of middle class zombie. Then, of course, you've got electricity and gas. I don't have gas here. I've actually studiously avoided flats that have gas in them. I prefer to live in places that run with just electricity because I've never really. I'm a little bit weird about gas supply. I remember when we were younger, we had a gas fire that leaked gas, and ever since then, I've always been a little bit mistrustful of those goddamn leaky pipes. But my electricity is going up. Like, I love this word, precipitously. It's really going up. I was amazed that they actually had the gall to send me the letter that they did, telling me how much it was going up by. And since then, my electric company has taken my normal bill off me, and then taken another random amount off me. And when I've emailed them about it, they've gone, oh, we don't know why we did that. And that was the explanation. They've just left it at that. So, customer service, clearly the raise is not going to that. I also had a letter saying that my council tax is going up. And I think this is why the video that I posted has gone a bit insane, because I pointed out a lovely bit of hypocrisy on there. As we know, last year, Johnson said he was putting national insurance up because there was going to be a social care crisis and there wasn't enough money going into social care to pay for older people's care. Sajid Javid came out on TV the same day. The same day Boris Johnson announced that this was going to take place and said, the raise is nothing to do with social care, it's to do with the NHS backlog. And I don't really know where to start addressing that. First of all, the NHS backlog is still terrible because you people will not put in even the slightest mitigations for coronavirus, because British people seem to think that freedom revolves around how much of your face I can see. That is, of course, not to mention as well that the NHS has been supremely underfunded by the Tory party since they took power. They have pared back the funding that used to be given freely by the Labour government. And I don't, I really hate people that engage in supposition. I don't know how the Labour government would fund the NHS, but I assume that they wouldn't underfund it, which is what the Tories have been doing for the last 12 years. So if you want to sort out the NHS backlog, may I suggest that you put in some measures to mitigate adding to it? Sajid Javid also said that care should start at home, that we should be looking at family taking care of us first instead of the country, which is ludicrous. What's the point of us putting money into a system that you're telling us that we shouldn't have access to? The lack of logic that comes from Tory politicians' mouths is just hysterical. But on my council tax, it says that they are going to take money off of me to fund social care. So apparently we're paying more out from our NI to pay for social care, and we're paying more out from our council tax to pay for social care around here. Yes, I know I'm nitpicky. I know they go to different things. I really don't need to be proselytized to. I do understand, but it's like a point of hypocrisy that I just feel I have to bring up. And I think that this whole thing has kind of underscored to me what it is about conservative politicians that piss me off. And I'm going to dive into a different example and then bring it back to this. I saw a politician in America recently talking about the Don't Say Gay bill and saying it's a brilliant idea. We don't want to confuse young minds by talking to them about the gay agenda and confusing them about their sexualities. And then I'm not even joking, two tweets later was saying that he's disgusted by the amount of LGBT people that get straight married and then leave their partners to pursue a homosexual lifestyle. And the fact that these people just don't understand the causal link between not telling people that there are different sexualities so they can start understanding themselves younger and accepting themselves younger, and people growing up confused, getting into a marriage because they're told that's what they're meant to do, and then leaving that marriage. It's just flabbergasting that these people don't realise that they cause their own problems. And here again we are with this. It seems to be a very much a right-wing politician thing. Obviously, I'm sure there are examples of left-wing politicians, but we don't have them in this country, it seems, at the moment. So I don't really know what to do with that. But it seems like the prominent right-wing politicians that we have here will cheerfully cause their own problems and then sneer at them. Again, we have another one. It was the Tory party conference yesterday. Liz Truss was talking about LGBT people and saying that the war about pronouns needs to stop. But traditionally, it's been right-wing pundits, right-wing columnists, right-wing newspapers, right-wing journals pushing out this rhetoric that there's some kind of culture war, when it's not a culture war. There is no cancellation, no woke culture. It's just people being open about how they want to be respected and treated. And if you think that people asking for parity, for equal treatment, for respect, for safety, for dignity, for access to spaces that they've had to continue instead of being taken away from them, if you think that that's a war, then it's really no wonder that this country is quite so on its knees at the moment, is it? When it comes to a cost of living crisis, the problem that we really seem to be facing is that the people in charge, there's just this huge disconnect between them and us. And of course, that's always going to be the case, to an extent, because politicians are, you know, it's ingrained into our heads that they're of a different breed, that they're, you know, we accept these Etonian people. And then it cracks me up. If you go onto Twitter, whenever Angela Rayner does PMQs, there's so many people being casually misogynistic and talking about the way that she's dressed and talking about how crass and broad she is, making fun of her accent. She's more like you than you will ever be like anybody from the Tory party. She is more relatable to you than any of those people sat on that other bench, guffawing about the cost of living crisis and mocking people for the way that they live and who they are. Angela Rayner is you, and you're mocking her. You can like or dislike her politics, you can like or dislike her personally, but she's closer to you than you are Tories. I can guarantee it. And so if you want to sneer at her, just know that you're kind of playing yourself. And the thing is, when it comes to people like Rayner or anybody else who has come from a completely normal background talking about cost of living, they understand it. There's this weird kind of misnomer in this country that people like Rishi Sunak, who is unfathomably wealthy, like ridiculously so, will be better at handling money because he's rich. But it doesn't work that way. Rich people have money, and having money makes money. You could be inept as Donald Trump and lose money, but he is a special case of absolute stupidity that still somehow manages to fail upwards. And I suppose Rishi Sunak is a perfect example of that too. But believe me, having been on the poorer end of the scale, I've seen my mum stretch out budgets so that they last as long as they need to last. I've seen people economise with food. I've seen people ration and be careful and save in really creative ways when they're poor. With rich people, I've seen rich people be rich and continue to be rich and just have lots of money, and therefore just expect that there will always be lots of money. There's also the fact that when you are wealthy, you continue to rub shoulders with people that are wealthy, so it's easy to get into lucrative situations because they're just around you. And I think that that's so easily forgotten. When it comes to cost of living in the UK at the moment, it really is obscene. Everything is going up. And I don't know how people are meant to afford, how people are meant to continue. Because it's just mind-numbing that people will accept that this is the status quo. We don't have to accept that things get more expensive. We just don't. I understand we've just been through the pandemic. But if you want to talk about increased costs, Brexit is a key example of why that is. Now, Johnson yesterday at a Conservative conference was lauding Brexit, and I'm not even going to go into the things that he said where he compared the war in Ukraine to Brexit because it's just the most pathetic, jingoistic, flag-waving nonsense I've ever heard. But if you want to talk about increased costs of living, I don't understand how people can be surprised that severing ourselves from an open trade agreement with 27 other countries, which were our neighbour, would have a negative impact on the cost of living. Because we don't have an open trade deal with them anymore. So things are, by their nature, more expensive, not just because of paperwork, because of extra transport, because of the infrastructure that we've got to build in. Free ports, the money for those have got to come from somewhere, and I still don't think that they're a great idea. Brexit's costing us a lot of money, and that money is coming out of our pocket. We have literally paid to make our lives more difficult. Brexit is one of the most expensive political decisions that we've made in years. But if you want to also take into account what people have been saying to me, which I find hilarious, people are pointing to the war in Ukraine and blaming that for cost of living increases. Perhaps. Not directly the war in Ukraine, although we do seem to import a lot of things from there, but Russian oligarchs, they've been meddling in our democracy by plying people with money to make them do what they want for a really long time. And suddenly that is, well, perhaps not suddenly is the right word, but that's being cut off or slowed down. Can you really expect that there's going to be cost of living increases and instability when the people that have been funding us to worsen our democracy have suddenly decided to cut the honey taps off? The reason that the Tory party are so reluctant to sanction Russian oligarchs is they know that that's where half of their freaking money comes from. I guess the main problem that I have as a working class man in this country is that there's this blithe insistence that this is just the way it has to be. Things have to get more expensive, that we have to go through a cost of living crisis, we have to have a PM that's completely inept, we have to have a government ministers that sneer in complete indifference about our plight. But it isn't. We've been given this message from Murdoch Press and you know, right-wing punditry for a really long time that these people are the ones that are meant to be in charge. It's their country to run. They don't have to live like us. They don't have to understand us. They just have to make the decisions. And that's just so ridiculous and untrue. We do not have to be ruled over by people that don't, in a just deep, basic way, understand our lives. And I don't understand why that's something that we just accept. We absolutely do not have to accept that these are the people that should be running our country if we don't like the way that they're doing things. And I don't understand. Obviously, I'm biased as what I would term a fairly far lefty. I don't understand how people can accept the rule of Tories. I don't necessarily know whether a lefty government would be doing things much differently because I'm not psychic. But I don't want to engage in supposition. I would like to give another government a try that's actually going to take care of us, that's going to look at these cost of living crises and do something other than bleat on about getting Brexit done or being the first to do a vaccine rollout or any of that. It seems like the Tory party is just full of jingoism, and jingoism's absolutely not what we need right now. We don't need three-word phrases. We don't need to be told we're levelling up. Isn't that the biggest fucking irony as well? We've been told all along, over and over and over again, about how we're going to level up. We're levelling up the country. Everything's going to get levelled up. It's a levelling up agenda. We're levelling up into a cost of fucking living crisis because we are ruled over by people that do not know how to do their jobs. I think a big part of that is obviously that Johnson stuffed his cabinets with sycophants that were only ever going to support him no matter what he does. And I'm sure that there are Tories out there that will hear this and completely disagree, but look at the way it's been. Priti Patel has got Boris Johnson's loyalty no matter what. I don't know why. But she also backs him no matter what because she knows that he saved her job. She got fired in disgrace for basically committing subterfuge. Let's not, you know, undermine what she did. You've got Nadine Dorries, who is the culture minister, who the other day said that she is amazed that people learn from YouTube. You've got Rishi Sunak, the new chancellor, extremely green, did some good things during the pandemic with furlough and things like that. But look at what his budget has done and is doing. And if you heard him speak, if you heard him in that interview that I heard, you would be terrified because the guy does not know what he's doing. Dominic Raab as the Justice Secretary. I mean, the guy looks like he eats Great White's faces for breakfast, but sure. And of course, Sajid Javid, a man who is more intimate with American healthcare systems than I've ever been with any of my partners. We have a cabinet of people who are more interested in the optics of what they do than actually achieving anything good for the country. And people in the country have been trained into acceptance. I don't understand. There's a hardcore base of friends and people that I support online, from Hugh Grant, Rhys Dinsdale, just over and over, all these people, these prominent people who are pushing messages to the counter. And I'm trying to do my best. And what I've discovered with this video that's blown up is that you just get this constant low-level hum of, you're wrong and stupid, and this is how it needs to be. We need this country to be like this. Oh, it'll get better when we stop these moaning lefties. And it's like, the moaning lefties are the ones who want to make it better. I've made this point before, but it seems these people don't understand the fine irony of being the antithesis of the kind of patriotism that they push. One of my favourite things that I get told, and I've been told this several times on the video that I'm talking about, is if you don't like it here, just leave. And I've never understood that, because I'm trying to make the country better by talking about it. I'm just a political commentator, you know. I don't really have any sway, any influence. I would hope that down the line my writing might be able to make a bit of an impact. But right now I'm just a person that commentates on the internet. I don't have any bright ideas about how to fix it, but I'm so open to talking to people that do and platforming them and giving them the time to speak about it. But what is patriotism? Surely it's looking at the deficits and the mistakes and the issues and the problems and thinking, this needs to be fixed. We need to do something about this. We need to talk about it and bring it out into the light so people can see it, and then we need to fix it. Patriotism's not looking at a country that's just full of people on their knees who can't afford to pay their heating bills, who are having to eat instant noodles or openly steal food so that they can eat until payday. And saying to them, just cope, deal with it. That's not patriotism. Patriotism is sacrificing for your fellow people. Patriotism is helping other people. And I feel like Britons, at the moment in particular, just don't have an ability to do that, and it's a real shame. I think and I know that we can do better, but until we detoxify some of the debates and we start really relating to each other as people again, I just don't think it's going to happen. And there's so much division that's been pushed by the right-wing press with regards to cancel culture and all of those things. The thing that makes me laugh is that, like, the war, like, if you want to call it woke culture, it's always existed. There's always been people saying, please give me rights, please listen to me, please accept me for who I am. Sure, the people in the driver's seat might have changed or moved aside, more people might have joined. But this has always been a thing. And if you're sick of it, what you're saying is, my empathy has limits. But it's like I said, just go back to what I said before. The trans people that are asking you to just accept that they exist and let them carry on using spaces and let them access healthcare in a timely manner, are the people of colour who are telling you that there's disparate amount of racism in the UK, where I think people of colour make up 11% of London and make up almost 50% of stop and searches. These people tell you their plight, and I don't know what it is that stops you from listening, but they are closer to you than you will ever be to Boris Johnson. He doesn't care about you. He's a millionaire. He is unfathomably wealthy. He will continue to be extremely successful no matter what happens to him. The guy could go to prison and come out writing a tell-all book about his downfall. He's going to be fine. You don't need to baby him. You don't need to back him unthinkingly. You need to look around at the people who you share this country with who are struggling and say, what is my part to play in this? Do I want this to continue, or do I want to do something important to help the people that are struggling? And ultimately, that is a decision that only you can make. And I don't think that people like me can talk people out of being, you know, super, like, flag-wavy and anything, because I think it's a real deep, it's a culture problem, it's a state of mind problem. But I at least hope it makes people think, you know. I hope it makes people look at the way that they behave and the way that they treat each other and the way that they speak about themselves as well. Because I think I must say it every podcast episode, and I don't mean to, but we deserve better. We all deserve better from our politics than this. We are let down so many different ways, and that's what this podcast is for. It's to talk about the fact that education doesn't cater to everyone and doesn't give them the tools that they need to thrive and flourish and be successful, because it doesn't account for how you learn. It doesn't account for cost of living. It doesn't account for ability. It doesn't account for your different needs based on your identity. And we allow that because it's easy to just look at people around you and go, oh, Mona, and not wonder why. Of course, there are people out there that take advantage of these situations, but not all of us do. And the fact is, you will always have more in common with your fellow man than you will with a super rich right-wing politician who doesn't care about you, who doesn't know your life and doesn't understand your struggles or those of people just like you, but will happily tell you about why you deserve or need to struggle while he doesn't. Look around you at the state of Britain and ask yourself, who's my enemy? Who's actually working against me? Who makes a real impact on my life? Who makes the money go into my pocket less? Who makes me struggle to afford a mortgage? Who makes me unable to afford my petrol? Who makes it so that I can't buy the extra things I want at the supermarket? And who are the people just trying to get by and live? And ask yourself who you really want to attack out of those people. Because I think I know. Thanks again for joining us on Politically Enraged, a podcast designed to try and support you if you're a lefty and try and report you if you're a right winger. You can find us on Instagram at Politically Enraged, at Political Rages on Twitter. My TikTok is Davy Moo, and you can also sponsor us on Ko-fi, because I'm trying my best to help the world here, but I don't have infinite funds. Thanks very much for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Politically Enraged. Get politically engaged and get politically enraged.